When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can seem intense. Like breakup R&B intense.
I thought you said you loved the sweater that I got you. If you didn't, you could have told me.
Geico makes it easy. Just go to Geico.com anytime to update or check your policy without all the extra drama.
I even had a gift receipt.
Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1. Zero and lift off.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the tire.
And welcome back. It's Strategic Breakthrough Radio, hosted here by the one and only Elliot Kay. I am here every 2 weeks to bring you groundbreaking strategies to grow your business, to get out there, make more impact in the world, and of course, to build a business that supports your lifestyle. That's why I'm here every 2 weeks. And with me, I bring guests. I bring all kinds of guests from all walks of life. We've had live streamers. We've had some of the top UK strategists. We've had bloggers. But what we haven't had yet is a podcaster. And podcasting in itself is a bit like you have vampires, witches, and you have, what's the third one, werewolves. And podcasters, they just seem to be this amazing blend of super-powered people who can just make things happen. And it's still, interestingly enough, an untapped market. Now, I don't know where the metaphor of vampires, witches, and werewolves came from. Maybe that's because I've been watching originals for the last 2 months. But hey, it still is an interesting concept, especially about growing your business, especially in terms of a strategy to grow your business. But here's the thing. Like anything, podcasting needs to be done well. And there's a lot of people that do podcasting very poorly, and there's people that do it brilliantly. You'll be happy to know that on this show, I have one of the leading podcasters, and I'm going to introduce you to him in shortly. But before I do that, I just want to tell you some stats, some really fascinating stats about podcasting and why you should seriously think about it for your business. So, first of all, podcasting in itself grew 23% between 2015 and 2016. So that's, and this is specifically for America, so it's even bigger globally. 21% of Americans of ages 12 and upwards listen to podcasts, and that's a 70% rise. So that's quite interesting on that. By the way, it's a crazy amount of something like 57 million Americans listen to podcasts. And most of them listen to 5 podcasts a week. So part of the reason is that is, of course, now we can get podcasts on our phones and not just on our computers. So that's a massive thing. And most of them get listened to on a smartphone. So that's just some stats for America. I'm here in the UK. I don't know the stats for the UK, but that's got to be around, you know, similar stats. And then if we go global, it means podcasting has a market. It works. And that's why with me, I have Ben. And Ben is a awesome podcaster, number one. So Ben Kruger, he interviewed me last week on his podcast. And not only that, listen to this. So he spends his time educating thought leaders and authors about using podcasting for effective growth marketing as an authority tool. He's a world traveler as well, so he doesn't let his podcasting stop him from traveling. In fact, I think he's talking to us from a castle in Paris. So the vampire thing might still be true. He's also an outdoor junkie, and he's here today to share his proven approach for growing authority and influencing through podcasts. Ben, welcome to Strategic Breakthrough Radio.
Elliot, hell of an intro. I'm not sure if I'll ever live up, but I'm excited to be here, excited to chat, and hopefully I can share some things that are going to be really helpful for your listeners today.
I know you will. Otherwise, I would not have invited you to my show. I know you will. But thank you for doing this, and I know you're taking time out. As I said, you're in Paris. You're in a castle in Paris, which sounds really cool. But do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, Ben? I mean, how did you end up in podcasting?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a little bit of an interesting story because It's about 5 years ago. I was working a small marketing job, or a job at a small marketing company in Idaho, of all places. I was living with my brother, and this was the fourth job that I had gotten in about the span of a year. Because really, I just kind of came to grips with the fact that I'm not the best employee. I really want to make my own decisions and have a little bit more freedom and flexibility. So I decided that doing my own thing was going to be, you know, a smart move for me. Yet I had absolutely no idea what that was going to be. Didn't have the finances to take time off and to do it, full time, and really wasn't sure what I wanted to start or how I wanted to go about it. So at the time, I was listening to a podcast called the Lifestyle Business Podcast, which is hosted by a good friend of mine, Dan Andrews. And I heard about an opportunity through this podcast to get an internship with the guys that hosted this podcast. And the internship was, the intern would do online marketing for a friend of theirs who owned a resort in the Philippines in exchange for room and board at that resort in the Philippines. So you really didn't get paid, but you didn't really have much expenses. Right?
Hey, let me go. So, I'll go now, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, so here's what's funny. The whole thing, they wanted an application video. And so I did my research. I researched the past two or three people who had this position. I reached out to them, asked, you know, why did they get picked? How did they stand out? This whole, because I really wanted this thing. And so put in my application, got a, you know, pack your bags email. And literally 2 weeks later, I had sold all my stuff, which wasn't much, that might be overstating it, but I sold my car, you know, sold all the tangible things that I had, which was mostly like sports equipment, I guess, and had bought a plane ticket and landed in the Philippines, you know, met this guy that owns this resort that I was going to work with for 6 months. And this is the preamble, I suppose, because where the podcasting thing came in was, Dan Andrews, the host of the Lifestyle Business Podcast, I got to meet him when I went to the Philippines, and we became good buddies, had a couple of beers at this resort. And he was telling me all about the actual back end of their show, because I'd been listening to the show for a long time, really loved it. And he was saying how much of a pain the post-production process was. So he was saying how much he loved doing the recordings, but everything else other than that, doing all the editing, doing all the show notes, you know, making it professional and getting it all set up and ready to go on the site and then sending it out to their listeners. Like, that was the part that took him the most time and took the most effort. So he was essentially bitching to me. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that on here, but
yeah, you can say that. Don't worry.
he was complaining about how much of his team's time it took up and how much he wanted them to be doing other things. So I made him a handshake deal on the spot saying, you know, I did some video production in high school. I could figure out this whole podcast production thing and I'll take it over for you, you know, next week. Let's try it out. Here's how much I'll charge you for it. And ever since that was my very first client, and he referred a few other people to me because he really enjoyed the fact that his team was completely freed up now to work on other things. And you know, kind of started out with a lot of referrals, and that's where the business came from. And now it's shifted to, you know, instead of just doing production services, we actually help people who are thought leaders, bloggers, influencers start and launch a professional podcast, because oftentimes that's the harder part. And then handle the production and everything ongoing. So it's kind of like a, you know, you get to show up as the host and we get to be the podcasting team for you. So that's kind of how I got into the biz, as it were.
So let me get this right. You applied for an internship, arrived, and converted them to pay you for your services.
I suppose that is how it worked. I never really thought about it that way, but it's absolutely true.
Wow. Talking about innovation and entrepreneurship, that is an awesome strategy. That's a good story. I mean, that should definitely be in your book. You know, if you have
there
a book
we go.
Yet?
I was actually just discussing with one of the other fellows at the castle here today about writing my first book. So no, I have not written an official book yet, but I may do one here in the next couple of weeks, actually. I might crank one out.
I think definitely start with that story, because that's a brilliant story. Because not too many people can claim that they got an internship, which they turned into a paying client, but you know, within a week. So well done you. That's really, really good. So listen, tell us, you know, if I didn't know anything, let's pretend I don't know anything, why podcasting? Like, what, why? Why bother? I mean, there's Facebook Live, there's, you know, Periscope, there's so many other devices out there to get your voice heard. What is it about podcasting, Ben, that makes it so good for a business? I'm just being devil's advocate here, by the way.
Oh, and I love devil's advocate, my favorite game. So here's the thing with podcasting. And for the listeners out there, I want to frame it from your perspective, because if you're listening to this and you're thinking to yourself, like, well, what's the deal with podcasting? Why does everybody get so jazzed up about it? The very first point is you are listening to a podcast right now, and think about your experience consuming this content and relating to Elliot, relating to me as a guest. What's interesting about podcasting is you get to listen to the content completely on demand. And what's more important is you get to do it on the go. So because it's audio, you do not have to sit down and focus your attention on consuming that content. So if it's a blog, you have to sit down and you have to read it. Now, granted, you could be sitting on the John and killing some time there. That's a whole different story. But if it's video, again, you have to sit, you have to look at it and give it your full attention to consume that content. Whereas with audio podcasting, and I would challenge or pose this question to you as a listener right now, I assume you're probably out walking the dog. You're probably driving to work. You're probably, you know, walking around the neighborhood or doing dishes or cooking dinner or doing something, and you're able to connect in a way that educates you, that connects you with Elliot as the host and as an expert and positions him as an expert as you're doing other things. So you don't even have to set aside time in your day to do this. It's something that you can do on the go. And what's really interesting for people that create and host their own podcasts, like Elliot and myself, is it's a relatively easy way to generate really high quality, really valuable content, and then to share it to an audience in a way that builds a very strong communal relationship over time. Because, you know, he releases episodes every other week. And, you know, if you are a listener to Elliot's show, you can look forward to that. You can kind of start to have that be part of your consistent schedule. So if you work out and you know that every Tuesday morning you're going to get a new episode of the latest podcast or whatever, you can have that be a part of your routine. But even more importantly, you know, most people listen to, and as the stats that you shared at the beginning of this share, most people listen to many different podcasts. They don't just listen to one podcast. They listen to five episodes or five different shows in the week. Or at least that's the average, according to the study in 2015. And the interesting thing that there is then, they get in the habit of listening to podcasts. So then they'll go through their phone or their, you know, however they listen to podcasts, and they'll look for what's available now. They have it in their routine to listen to podcasts, whether they're walking the dog or they're at the gym or whatever. So you essentially get to be an on-demand piece of content for them when they're ready to consume it and they're not, you know, sitting down devoting 100% of attention. So, you know, to wrap this all up, as a podcaster, you get to share really valuable information from a position of authority because you're the host of your own podcast. You know, it's kind of like being a speaker at an event. People immediately look to you as an authority. You can share your knowledge, your expertise, and your value with the audience and build a lot of social proof in the fact that you know what you're talking about, that you have value to share. And then, you know, if somebody wants to connect with you more, if you have products or services or a book or, you know, ways that people can engage with you on the back end of your podcast, that's where the true value lies with podcasting, because podcasting allows you to build that relationship. It allows you to connect with those people initially and kind of get the word out there, have a free medium that they can really connect with. And then when they are ready to take the relationship to the next level, whether it's through an opt-in or through a free consultation call or through buying, you know, a low-level product or your book or whatever, that is the perfect segue for someone to transition from passive listener to engaged customer or engaged prospect.
And in your experience, because I know you run Cashflow Podcasting, you know, cashflowpodcasting.com, you know, I came across podcasting last year, actually, because of my wife, and it became something I started to listen to before I went to sleep. And I got hooked onto Serial, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so what makes a good podcaster? I mean, I guess there's two questions. What makes a good podcast and what makes a good podcaster? Because Serial was really engaging because of the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you recommend for all podcasters?
Well, there's always a combination and a balance of two elements when it comes to good podcasts. There's the entertainment factor, and then there's the education factor. So, you know, if somebody is listening to this show, they're probably interested in a little bit of a combination of both, more on the education side, probably.
Are you saying I'm not entertaining? Like, is that what you're saying? I'm not entertaining? Thanks. Thanks, Ben.
You do have that hat. I'll give you that. You know, anybody that listens to podcasts, though, in the self-help space, in the higher education space, they're looking to learn, they're looking to grow, they're looking to develop themselves or their skills or their knowledge or their expertise. You know, they're going to be looking for an educational element, whereas something like Serial or comedy podcasts or story-based podcasts, or, you know, there's a couple podcasts that are like, you know, two buddies shooting the shit, having a beer. And that kind of turns into the podcast. You know, those are 100% pure entertainment-based shows. So I've always found that every podcast is a combination or somewhere on a sliding scale of entertainment versus education. So I think it always comes down to kind of a combination of those two. So we can go into that deeper for sure, but those are kind of the two pillars that the whole thing is based on.
Okay. And by the way, anyone listening out there, if you do fancy calling in and speaking to Ben yourself, all you need to dial, this is only for the US, 646-716-7979. That's 646-716-7979. Or why not tweet me, Elliot K PTS, as in power to succeed. That's Elliot K PTS on Twitter. And tweet me a question for Ben or me, if you want, by all means. So, there's a combination of entertaining and education. And in your experience, because you work with thought leaders and bloggers and authors, in your experience, for people who are entering the podcasting space, at what stage should they consider podcasting? Because we discussed this last week on your podcast. Not everyone's ready for podcasting, and you're very strict on that. So at what stage should someone start podcasting? This is what I liked about you. I like strictness, you know. I like someone who's got standards and, you know, because there was a period where everybody started doing podcasting in the UK. Everyone I was speaking to do podcasts, because they clearly went to some seminar and someone said, do podcasting. So everybody started doing it. So when should someone get in?
I've literally been at an event to where the speaker said every person in this room should have a podcast. And, you know, I think a small part of me died just then, but, you know, definitely cringeworthy. Either way, here's my approach to podcasting. When it comes to podcasting, you can do it as a hobby, and that is an entirely separate thing. If you want to do a podcast for fun and just because, that is fantastic, and I wish you the absolute best of luck, that's generally not where I look to work with folks. Or you know, have a whole lot of experience personally, quite honestly. So there's a lot of you know, just for fun podcasts out there. So you know, I would definitely go look at somebody who does that themselves and look for their advice around that. Where most of my experience is around using podcasting as a business tool. Now, there's two ways that podcasts kind of typically go about, you know, starting a podcast, or podcasters go about starting a podcast. One is I'll build it and then I'll monetize. So usually the idea is, well, if I start putting out really good content, I build an audience and then I can sell sponsorships. Or, and this is quite honestly the more effective route typically, or I will, you know, build a podcast, attract the audience, and then I will develop a product, service, or offering for that audience. So that's kind of like one approach. The opposite end of that approach is for someone who has a have an audience, they have a message, they have strong branding, they know what they're speaking to that audience with. They know the value that they bring, and they have products and services that already sell to that audience. And they go about podcasting to get on a bigger stage. They want to attract more individuals. They want to build a community around their brand. They want to build trust. They want to build really strong and powerful goodwill in the market around their brand. And they want to obviously generate leads and sales for their products and programs, but they've already got the business foundation set up. They've already got kind of the MVP figured out, the most, you know, or minimum viable product figured out. And the idea of podcasting is to really ramp that up, is to, you know, essentially build a consistent lead flow of people that really know, like, trust them in the brand and what they can do for them. So my general advice for folks is, if you're looking to podcast for business purposes, I'm not a big proponent of launch it and then monetize it later, mostly because the only way that that works is if you hustle your ever-loving tail off, put out absolute tons and tons and tons of content, and you do it in a way that builds a really valuable audience very fast and very large. Some people are able to pull that off. They're a select few. They're the 1%. They're the, short list that you hear about that are monetizing podcasts with sponsorships to the tune of, you know, $30,000, $60,000 a month. For 99.9% of folks out there looking to start a podcast, that ain't going to fly. Not going to happen. So, well, generally, it's just because podcasting is still a relatively young medium. So advertisers don't pay much to advertise on podcasts, even though, at least right now, it's still a really highly effective marketing channel for a lot of advertisers. So if you are looking to monetize a podcast, just to put it in perspective, the typical industry rate to for a sponsor to sponsor your episode is between $18 and $25 per 1,000 downloads of that specific episode. So let's say that you are growing really quickly. You're growing, you know, really fast. You've got 5,000 listeners and you're, you know, absolutely cranking, and you want to release a weekly episode, and you get one sponsor for, you know, let's say they sign up for a whole month of podcasts, and sweet, you close the sponsorship sale. Well, if they're only paying you, let's see, what's 5 times 20? That's about $100 an episode. 4.3 is like $430 in a month of podcast work. So it's not going to really, you know, you're not going to be laughing your way to the bank unless you can really scale up a large audience. Or the other way to go about this is to build an audience that is super valuable to get in front of as an advertiser. So for instance, one of our clients, he's got a show where his audience is all people who are financial advisors, and they want to start their own financial advisory firm. Well, you know, being in the financial advice space is a pretty lucrative space to be in. And all of those firms, you know, all the people that are recommending financial products to their customers, they are the types of people that different products in the financial space want to get their product in front of. So they're willing to pay a hell of a lot more to advertise on those podcasts. So he makes good money from the sponsorships, but he also, and to put this in perspective as well, I think they make about 8 times the revenue on their actual business than they do through the podcast sponsorship. So generally speaking, there's almost always a lot more monetization potential through building a podcast to build value, to build a community, to connect as an individual and as an expert with your audience. And then when they're ready to take the next step to get the result they want, that's when you have a, you know, magic pill solution, a product, a service, an offering that helps them achieve that result. So that's what you can share with people in those podcast episodes so that when they're ready, they can raise their hand and step forward.
Okay. So let me get this right. Are you saying that if I don't release one podcast, I won't make it overnight? Are you saying they won't happen like if I've just done one podcast? I mean, surely that's got to be crushing for people out there, because surely all you need to do is release one podcast and then everything is okay, right? Is that not how it
works? Surely. Yeah. Or my personal favorite is the like, I'm going to record. I want to have a lot of episodes when I launch. So, and I see this all the time. People will record like 12 episodes, but they'll never actually put it on iTunes. They'll never actually share it with their list. And then they get busy and then they get, you know, the website rebuild project and then all these other things. And so then, you know, all these episodes that they recorded, they never actually release. and so, you know, literally can't do anything for anyone. So it just ended up being a time intensive project that didn't go anywhere.
So that probably leads us brilliantly onto the next point. I mean, for you, I believe I popped your cherry and taking your blog talk virginity. So well done, me. You know, it's your first time on this. Yeah. First time on this platform, you know. So tell me, how does someone start a podcast? Because I think that's a brilliant, you know, you've just talked about why. Now we're on to the how. How does someone do that?
Yeah. So let's say you are in that scenario to where you have, you know, a brand, you've got a product that sells, you've got an audience that you know who you serve, you know, the challenges, the fears, the problems that you solve for that audience, and you know your messaging. So that is when, you know, starting a podcast is really powerful, and isn't one of those things to where, you know, you just kind of start and it'll trickle. That's when, you know, if you get on with a podcast that really speaks to those challenges and positions you very strongly, that it can take off like a rocket and be a real profit center for your business. So the how-to really comes down to, number one, having absolute crystal clarity on who your podcast is for. So getting very clear on the audience. So that could involve, you know, you writing down a avatar for who your audience is. But here's the thing. Most people go out and build an audience of the people that are good prospects for their business right now. What I recommend instead is to think, you know, where do I want my business, my brand to be in 2 years from now? Who are the types of clients or customers that we want to be serving 2 years from now? And then go about building a podcast for those people, because then you're attracting the audience of the business you're building in the future. So it kind of lets you progress as opposed to building an audience or business as it stood 2 years ago. So it kind of builds in this like natural progression, which is really handy.
And do you find a lot of podcasters, they're almost left behind because they're catering from the wrong audience, or I guess too generalistic audience?
Yeah, so that's the big thing, is a lot of people go too general with their podcast because they want download numbers. And quite honestly, download numbers are a little bit of a vanity metric, you know? It's kind of like site visitor traffic. If you get a lot of traffic to your website, but it's because people, you know, typed in google.com incorrectly and your URL is goggle.com, they're not buyers, you know, they're not there to really engage with what you've got. So it's just complete and utter vanity metric. So this is where, when it comes to download numbers, I pay a hell of a lot more attention to the engagement, in the sense that, you know, how many people take action from listening to your podcast episode. So that might be they go and opt in for a checklist that you have on your website, or they go and they book a free consultation call, or they go and they download your free ebook, or they whatever. They engage with you in a way that is beyond just listening as a passive listener. Or the other way is if they listen to many episodes, so not just one or two, but they listen to 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 episodes, then they get a real strong feel for who you are, what you're talking about, and the value that you have to offer them. And it builds the foundation for a strong relationship. So anyway, that's kind of a common pitfall for people to fall into, is thinking too generally with their audience. So what I like to advise is think about very clearly, who do I want this to be for? Who is that perfect prospect for me 2 years out from now? And create an avatar around that profile. And then that's who you create the podcast for. So you get real clear on who it's for. Then you start thinking about, you know, if I'm that person, and maybe you even, if you do have a person or two like that in your business, or if you do have a few clients like that, or if you know a few people who fit that profile, reach out to them, whether it's an email, you pick up the phone and just say, you know, hey, I'm thinking about launching a podcast. Here's my idea for it. Here's kind of what I want to put into it. You know, you're the type of person that I want to create this podcast for. I would absolutely love if you could share your feedback of what you would love to see in a show like this. What would make this the podcast that you would, you know, absolutely listen to every time we released a new episode? And that way you can create a show that absolutely rivets with that audience. And it's not just you thinking, oh, well, if I create this, maybe they'll like it, or, you know, this is what I think they'll want. If you get it straight from the horse's mouth, you know, by asking, getting feedback, getting direct, you know, recommendations from your perfect listener avatar, it's almost a guaranteed win, because you're creating it for their exact wants, needs, and desires.
Right. Okay. Good advice there. You know, and I often talk about it, because being a strategist myself, working with business owners, mainly coaches, speakers, consultants, and trainers, I always say, look, go and get the answers from your market, not from your friends, not from your family. You know, go to the actual audience that you want to reach and say, what would you like? And I think that's a brilliant piece of advice there, because like you said, too many people go general, or too many people have these delusional hopes because they might watch a movie about some with a podcast and how quickly they rose to fame or something like that.
Yep.
I mean, do you want to dispel some myths? Have you got some myths you want to dispel while you're on this? Because I think it'd be handy to do that.
Hell yeah. There's a few good ones. Well, the first one is, you know, if you build it, they will come. It's the classic, you know, people that'll build a course and then put it up on the website and all of a sudden there's no buyers. Well, same thing happens with podcasting. If you do all the work to record a few episodes and get it up in iTunes, but you don't do any promotion around it, there's nobody to listen to it. and people may find it in iTunes, but if there's no initial traffic, then there's no effect. There's no, you know, initial traffic to get it discovered by others. So that's a big one that I see all the time. And the fix for that, quite honestly, is really simple. It's kind of a strategy that allows you to leverage existing groups that are already out there, whether they're Facebook groups, LinkedIn groups, you know, forums, other podcasts or blogs, newsletters, and reaching out to them, essentially sharing the podcast as it launches. And there's a little bit more, you know, finesse and copywriting to it, but that's the basic idea, because podcasts are a free resource. And if they are positioned as a very valuable thing to the audience, most group leaders are happy to share your podcast with their group for free without any, you know, kickbacks or any, you know, anything, as long as it's not direct competition and as long as you do a good job of positioning the value. So that's one giant myth is, you know, if I build it, they will come. The other one, and I feel like we've already dispelled this, but the other one is, you know, I could start a podcast and then I'll just monetize with sponsorships and then I'll sit on the beach and and sip my, margaritas, and then that'll be that. And that's just generally not how that works. The other one that I find particularly interesting is there's a lot of people who podcast, but then they'll be the first to say, well, my podcast is really good for getting me speaking opportunities and getting people to know about me, but it's not very good at generating clients. The myth there is generally because there's no clear call to action for podcast listeners to take a next step with them. So oftentimes the challenge or the problem is the listeners don't know that that host has a product or service to offer that could help them, you know, because they never bring it up. They never promote it. They never share it. So you don't need to be salesy to move product via podcasting. Actually, the best way to do it is to not be salesy at all, but to just position it as something that, solves a painful problem for that audience or helps them take the next step towards the goal that they really want. And so I see that all the time. And usually all it takes to fix that is to throw a quick call to action in, the middle of the episode or the end of the episode. And instantly that podcast starts to become a client generator again.
Right.
So that's a big one that, is such an easy fix. And I do enjoy when people reach out to me with that challenge because it takes about a 20-minute conversation to figure out, okay, well, what's your lead funnel on your website? Let's just replicate that for the podcast. But we have to transition from podcast listener to email subscriber or to, somebody who hops on a free consultation call. And if they don't ever know that that's something they could do, they're never going to.
Good meth dispeller there. Good one. Good one. And some really interesting stuff because, again, I mean, I know of podcasting. I guess, like you said, technically I'm podcasting now. I see it as a radio show. You call it a podcast. Tomato, tomato, potato, potato kind of thing going on there. But how does someone, what in your mind then is the perfect podcast setup? Because, again, I guess there's so many different ways to I don't know, how do you say, to bake a potato or whatever, right? but what is the perfect way to set up a podcast? Because, like many people, if you're going to do it, you might as well do it well, right? So What would you say are some of the ways to do that?
So I'm a big believer in the, what I call kind of like the easy route for podcasting. So especially if technology and setting up technology is not a strong suit of yours, I'm a big believer in using a setup that allows you to get quality audio without having to have a mixing board or, without having to do all this fancy audio equipment setup and stuff. So here's my, and if it, when it comes to technology, here's my, big recommendation. I use a $50 microphone that plugs into my laptop with a little USB plug, and it folds down with a little tripod into, it's actually a makeup case that's covered in pink flowers. So they always look at me funny at the airport. but it folds down into this little thing. It's, maybe 12 centimeters by 5 centimeters or something. And then all I need to do, and that's the Audio-Technica ATR-2100 microphone. So it's super handy. It's easy to use. It's on Amazon. You can find it there. I think it's like $75 now because it sells like hotcakes. But once you have a basic microphone like that, and that's the microphone that I'm using right now. So you can kind of get a sense for the audio quality. I'm in a super echoey room, unfortunately. So it's not the best.
It sounds great. Honestly, you can't really hear the echo at all.
Well, and that's why I love this mic is, you can have background noise. You can have kind of some wind noise in the background. It's really good at cutting out a lot of the fluff. And it's a good microphone for beginners and people who don't really get into the audio tech stuff. Because there's very few things that can go wrong. And that's what I'm always trying to eliminate for folks, whether they're our clients or whether they're people that are looking to start podcasting. Because one of the biggest frustrations is if you sit down to record an episode and you can't get the audio to record right, you can't get the sound to work, there's a buzzing sound in the background, or there's, you know, your neighbor's mowing his lawn or whatever, it gets really frustrating and you just stop. You just quit. You just go do something else. And the more that happens, the less likely you're ever going to be to podcast. Whereas if you use the most simple microphone possible that just plugs right into your computer, and then here's what I use for recording. If you're just doing a recording by yourself, you can use GarageBand if you've got a Mac, which is, you know, comes as a free software, or you can use a free tool that is usable on Mac or PC, and that's called Audacity. It's, you know, free to download. And then you literally just hit record, talk into the microphone, and when you're done, you hit stop, and that's all there is to it. If you're doing an interview like we're doing today, you could use a tool like Blog Talk Radio, or you could use a tool. There's a new browser-based calling tool that I really like. It's free, and it's called Zencastr. And the beauty there is, you know, you don't have to get the other person's Skype address. You don't have to teach them how to download Skype. They're not tech savvy. You literally just send them a link in an email and they click it, open it up, and it records right then. You know, just like with on your desktop, you press record at the beginning, press stop at the end, and you're done. So that's kind of like such an easy setup. And at the same time, you can have the audio quality that some of the top, you know, radio producers online or on radio have with about $75 and 20 minutes of setup.
Wow. So that's the mic and that's the recording equipment. So Audacity I know of. And was it, did you call it Zencastr or the, what was it?
Zencastr. I think without an Zencastr. E at the end. Zencastr.
Okay, Zencastr if you're American, Zencastr if you're here in the UK. but it's one of the same. So check it out. Now, that sounds like a
Pardon
really good
pronunciation.
No, not at all. It's just that, you know, different ways of pronouncing things. English is a beautiful word, beautiful language spoken in many different ways. So no need to apologize for that. So that's the mic, that's the recording. And then what about, you know, setting up the program? What would you recommend, as you mentioned before? I know we started to touch about this. I think now is a good time to go deep. How do you set up the perfect program? What would be your advice on that?
Yeah. So there are two formats that are working really well right now that kind of across the board are getting the most growth engagement that I've found. And one, they're both actually surprisingly easy. So one format is the weekly interview-based format, very similar to what we're doing right now with Breakthrough Radio. And, you know, essentially it's a weekly show. You hop on and you interview somebody that your audience really wants to hear from. They've got topic expertise. And your job as the interviewer is to extract the information that your audience wants to learn or to hear about from that individual. So just as you've been doing this entire time, Elliot, you know, your job as an interviewer is to extract that information. And generally, I find that a weekly format for those types of shows is best for building an audience more quickly and building a consistent growth audience. So a weekly interview-based type show is fantastic. You may have a segment at the beginning of the show or at the end of the show where you give, you know, quick updates about what's going on behind the scenes, if that's an element, or if there's, you know, some other part of the podcast that you really want to have something consistent week to week. You can have like a little bit of a segment at the beginning or at the end that's not part of the interview. That's a very easy way to kind of differentiate and have something that makes your show stand out and just isn't the same interview that that person has done on four other podcasts. Because I know that's a concern for folks sometimes. So the other one that's a super common format, and that's quite honestly one of the easier ones to get started with. And if you want to use the podcast as a way to introduce yourself and connect with and network with other influencers in your space, you know, interviews are one of the easiest ways to get your foot in the door. So you get to actually lead with value as opposed to making an ask of some kind of, you know, oh, can I get you coffee or whatever to pick your brain. You know, I think that's the worst one.
Yeah. Let me buy you lunch.
Yeah, but if somebody, you know, reaches out to you and says, you know, hey, I've got a podcast, I want to feature you and your expertise to my audience, you're leading with value. So much better pitch, and it positions you as, you know, somebody that is valuable for them to connect with anyway. So there's a lot of reasons why that can work out really well. The other format that I've seen work really well and is incredible at building a really strong connection between the host and the listener is what I call micro content. So it's 5 to 10 minute long episodes tops, and usually they're 3 to 5 episodes per week. And there's a lot of different ways you can go with this, but oftentimes it's one little tip or it's one little thought or an idea of the day type of thing. Because with that format, if you're a podcast listener, you can listen to multiple episodes in one sitting, or you can literally tune in every day to, you know, get that update, that tip, that thing that they're talking about, or that, you know, mini interview segment, whatever it may be. But the nice thing about that as a content creator, as the host, is you can sit down and record a bunch of those. You could sit down and record 7 in a row. You know, maybe it took you an hour, but that's an entire, you know, 7 episodes worth of content that you can drip out. And you don't necessarily have to line up interviews with people. You can just kind of sit down in a quiet room and go to town creating content that's going to be really valuable for people. The other way that format works really well is if you are telling a story and if there's a story arc that the audience can follow. So one of my favorite podcasts, it's called Marketing in Your Car, and it's hosted by Russell Brunson. He's the guy that runs ClickFunnels, and he's been in the online marketing space for eons now. But what I love about his show is it's literally, the audio quality is pretty dreadful. He literally puts his little audio recorder on the dashboard of his car. And while he's driving from his home to work, to the office, he records 7-minute podcasts, because that's how long it takes him to drive to the office. And they're updates about the marketing strategies they're using, the products that they're releasing. And, you know, his audience is marketers or people who want to market better. So it's a really good fit. So, you know, he kind of mixes lessons in with news and updates and what's going on, as well as kind of like what's working and what's not, that kind of thing. They get to be the guinea pig, but he just shares it in a very conversational format on his drive to work. And it's funny because you hear the turn signal and you'll hear times to where you'll be like, oh man, a cop just pulled up behind me, I better drive carefully, you know, that kind of stuff. or like, oh, I can't believe this guy just cut me off, you know, as he's talking on the podcast. But it makes for such good content to connect with and build a story arc. And you feel like you get to be inside the office and part of his team, getting updated on what they're working on and what's going on. And hey, this is a marketing strategy they tried last week and it's not working out how they had hoped, so they're changing up and doing it this way instead. So those are the two formats, and I feel like I've been a little long-winded here, but hey, I'm a podcaster, so I'm allowed to be.
You have a license.
Yeah, that's right. So there's like the weekly interview type of show, and then there is multiple times a week, short micro content that oftentimes can have either a story arc or like a thought of the day, or you know, idea of the day or tip of the day type of thing. And those two formats seem to be working really well across the board right now.
Okay. And is there a third? Because all good things happen in threes. Is there a third style that you'd recommend?
The third style is actually very similar to the first style, but instead of being an interview-based show, it's very educational-based. And so they could be either a single person, you know, doing kind of like a teaching-based podcast, or it could be co-hosted, but they're talking about a specific topic, and usually they're 35 to 45 minutes long or 35 to 55 minutes long. And those are also really popular. The kind of wild card here, and this is a different format, is doing a finite series podcast. So this is a show where, you know, it's actually pretty popular in certain spaces, but if you did, let's say, a weekend event, a weekend training seminar, or if you have a particular training that you want to share with people, and you can do it in 5 episodes, 8 episodes, 10 episodes of content, and you upload them to iTunes as a kind of set podcast. It's not a podcast where you release regular content. It's a kind of like a one-time audio training, and people can access it at any time. Then you can use that as a lead generator. You can use that as, you know, if somebody opts in on your website via email, you can use that as a way to educate prospects or walk them through an audio course of some kind, or turn the, you know, weekend seminar that you did, you take the audio from that seminar, edit it down so that it doesn't have a whole bunch of extra fluff in it. But then it's a super valuable resource that's on the web for anybody to access, and they can learn from you, you know, hear what you're all about, hear what you've got to say and what you've got to share and teach, and then go learn more about you if they're ready to kind of take it to the next level. So that's kind of the wild card format.
Right. Okay. Wow. Some really amazing, truly in-depth information here, Ben. Honestly, this has been so insightful. It's funny because I'm listening to you talk and I'm thinking, I'm hearing you, and then I'm going, oh man, I need to interview you because I'm just taking in what you're saying. And it's really been, you know what I'm saying? I kind of lose my thread here. I'm like, oh my God, yeah, I need to ask a question. Excuse me for swearing now. But there you go, that's life. That's life recording for you and live radio. So Ben, you know, where can people hear more about you? Where can they listen to your podcast? Do you want to give yourself a good old fashioned plug right now?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and the first thing, you know, that I do want to share is I really appreciate the opportunity to come on to share what I know and what I've learned with your audience. And hopefully, you know, folks out there have found this helpful. If you do want to learn more about podcasting, if you're potentially thinking about starting your own, and you want to do it right, you want to do it in a way that you know will be successful and you're not just playing around. I teach a lot of this stuff over at cashflowpodcasting.com. There you'll find our podcast, Cashflow Podcasting. It's the Cashflow Podcasting Show. I'm really fancy at naming things. and then the main thing that I generally share with people on our site is a checklist. It's the 27 steps that we use to launch podcasts for our client. And so it walks people through, like, this is how a podcast launch works. This is what needs to happen. And you can find that on the site at cashflowpodcasting.com/checklist. That's probably the easiest way to kind of get the big picture of podcasting, you know, what needs to really happen for this to work and for it to be successful. So I would suggest people to check that out. And obviously you can reach out to me, connect with me personally at the site. All my contact information is there. I'm happy to help out and be a resource.
Excellent. So if you didn't catch that, it's cashflowpodcasting.com. And then is it /checklist? Is that right?
Checklist. Correct.
Check it. Check out the checklist. Okay, good.
Check it.
And social media, any particular Twitter, Facebook, where do you like people to connect with you? Snapchat, which one's your favorite?
I'm not the biggest social media guy, to be honest. I'm on Facebook, and the only thing that I ever really check Twitter for is Elon Musk's updates about what SpaceX and Tesla and, you know, weird technology stuff are doing. For whatever reason, that's where they do their announcements. So, but you can connect with me on Facebook. That's the one I'm most active on and am actually responsive to.
Okay, brilliant. So people can find, and they just put Cashflow Podcasting and they'll find you?
You will find me, absolutely.
Brilliant, brilliant. And of course, if anyone wants to reach out to me, my website is elliottkay.com. That's ELLIOTKAY.com. And you can reach out to Twitter, Instagram, Facebook is all the same. It's Elliott K PTS, as in Power to Succeed. That's Elliott K PTS. If anyone wants to reach out to me, we are here every 2 weeks with amazing guests like Ben. I've got to say, Ben completely blew me away here. I knew you'd be good. But when you're good and gooder, then that is good. So really great insights here. We're not done yet. We've got a few more minutes, Ben. I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to like squeeze you dry as much as I can, you know, for the next few minutes.
Okay. Can I make a request? Because I want to use good and gooder in my bio for future interviews.
I think, yes, as long as you credit me, I'm happy with that. You know, that's an official term. That's an official English term.
That's right. Trademarked. Oh, is it really good and gooder?
No, I just said that because it sounds good, you know. But
I
yes,
totally
good and gooder. I know, right? I could have had you there. And just, you know, outside of podcasting, you know, Ben, you mentioned outdoor junkie. What's an outdoor sports junkie do? Tell me more about that.
Yeah, I just like outdoor adventure. So I've been involved in different outdoor sports my entire life, from rock climbing to kayaking to, you know, anything to where there's a little bit of a thrill and I can go out and get a little bit dirty and maybe get some mud and dirt on my hands, I'm pretty happy. So I've been hunting since I was a young kid. I've been snowboarding since I was a young kid as well. So really any opportunity that I can get to go outside and kind of do something adventurous and fun with a group of people that are also adventurous and fun, I'm all about it. So whether that's hiking, mountain biking, you know, you name it, I'm into it.
Awesome. And what's your favorite song right now, just out of interest?
Ooh, you know, this is one of those embarrassing admissions, but I'll let it out because, you know,
Is it Justin Bieber?
No, it's not Justin Bieber, although, you know, every once in a while we do rock some JB at the house. But I've been listening to the Frozen theme song.
Let It Go.
Because I just can't get it out of my head. Yeah, Let It Go, man. So I'm a big fan of songs that the vocalist just absolutely belts out at the top of their lung, you know, when they're singing as hard as they can. And that I find as like a brilliant example of that. And so, yeah, I sing some Frozen around the house sometimes or in the shower. My girlfriend's really proud of me.
Really?
I don't think so, no.
Would she say don't give up your podcasting job yet?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. There's definitely no future for me in singing, but maybe there's some future for me in just talking. I'm a little better at that.
Yeah, well, look, you've certainly done an amazing, amazing job. And, you know, in the future, would you come back on this show? Would you join us again?
I would be absolutely honored and tickled to death. That would be great.
Fantastic. So as I bring the show to a close, first of all, you know, if you want to reach out to Ben, you can find him on cashflowpodcasting.com. You can find him on Facebook under the same name, although he admits he's not very active on social media because he's too busy podcasting. And that's a good thing. You know, social media can be very consuming. My name is Elliott Kay, and I'm here every 2 weeks to bring you strategies such as you heard with Ben. It's all about strategic breakthrough for you, the thought leader, the coach, the entrepreneur, and the business owner. And that's my role here for you every 2 weeks. So do join us in a couple of weeks on the 28th of November. It's 7 p.m. GMT, that's Greenwich Mean Time. And I think, wow, with the time change, I'm not sure what time it is in America. But I think it's 12 p.m., but I could be wrong. Just make sure you know what 7 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time is. I must find that out. Ben, thank you very much. Any final words in the last few seconds of the show?
I just want to say thank you for the opportunity. It's been a blast, and we got connected here about 2.5 weeks ago, I think, and ever since then. I think we've had 3 calls in the last 2.5 weeks and feel like we're good pals by now. So I'm really thankful that we got connected and thankful that we've had the opportunity to share with each other's audiences and having a good time with it, man.
Definitely. Well, I look forward to connecting with you more. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. My name's Elliot Kay, and I'm your bi-weekly strategist. Have a lovely couple of weeks. Until the next time, we will be in touch. And stay strategic, stay focused, and stay hungry. Till the next time, Elliot Kay signing out.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Ben, thank you very, very much, my man.
You bet. You bet. I'm glad I was around and saw the message, because usually I'm not super responsive to Skype messages if I'm not actually working.
me neither. I'm not nearly. Anyway, you were there. It worked out. Thank you again for saving my butt.
Man, it worked out.
And let's be in touch for the next step in wherever we're going.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah, that sounds fantastic. That sounds fantastic. And I appreciate you having me on. That was a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, thank you. Really, really deep insights. Go enjoy your dinner, and we'll catch up shortly.
Dude, that sounds great. You have a fantastic evening. Tell Emily I wish her the best of luck, and yeah, man, I'm excited to see how this goes for you.
Thank you. I'll send it out now, and let's see what comes back.
Sounds good, man. Sounds good. Adios.
Take care. Adios. Bye. Bye.
Bye-bye.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to Geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike,
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your move.